Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and today we will be learning Melachim Aleph, Perek Tet Vav. In this perek, we learn about the reigns of Rechavam's son Aviyam and grandson Asa in Malchut Yehuda, and then we switch back to Malchut Yisrael and learn about the reigns of Yeravam's son Nadav and his successor Baasha. In Psukim Aleph through Chet, we are told over the span of several Psukim that Aviyam sinned like his father Rechavam, in contradistinction to his great-grandfather David, who is described as having never sinned throughout his entire life with the exception of Dvar Uriah HaChiti, which is likely referring to when he had Uriah HaChiti killed in battle so that he could marry his wife Bathsheba. We're then told that there was civil war between him, meaning Aviyam, ben Rechavam, and Malchut Yisrael throughout Aviyam's entire reign, but we're not given any further details. And that's all we're told about Aviyam ben Rechavam's reign in Sefer Melachim. However, we're given an entirely different portrayal of Aviyam in Dibur Hayamim Bet Perek Yud Gimel. Instead of informing us of Aviyam's sins, we're only told about the massive civil war between Aviyam and Yeravam. And included is a story of a battle in the civil war during which Yeravam's soldiers had surrounded Aviyam's soldiers. Aviyam's soldiers responded to this being surrounded by davening to Hashem, and the Kohanim in their ranks blew trumpets. And we're told that Yeravam's soldiers then fled. Aviyam won the war and captured some cities from Yisrael's territory, including Betel, which, if you recall, is one of the sites of the temple, of one of the temples that Yeravam had built for Hashem. So it was an important city and an important acquisition. While in Sefer Melachim, Aviyam's sins seem to be the focus of the narrative description of his reign, in Divrei Hayamim, his sins aren't even mentioned at all. From reading the account of Divrei Hayamim, one would think that Aviyam was a complete tzaddik who fought against Yeravam, who is an evil king who had rebelled against Hashem. But how can that be? How can Divrei Hayamim appear to whitewash Aviyam and portray him as flawless when we know that he wasn't? To apply our discussion from Perek Yud Daled to this Perek, this difference relates to the different purposes of the two Svarim. Ezra HaSofer, the author of Divrei Hayamim, was interested in boosting the morale of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael during the time of Bayit Sheni. And to do that, he focused on the successes of the religious institutions of Malchut Yehuda, which led to Hashem's protection. The mention of Aviyam's Avodah Zarah would have failed to achieve any of these goals, so Ezra decided not to mention them. On the other hand, Yirmiyahu's goal in Sefer Melachim was to demonstrate how the sin of Avodah Zarah was what led to the Chorban, so he made sure to include Aviyam's sins. In Psukim Tet through Chav Dalet, back in Perek Yud Daled of Sefer Melachim, the Navi moves on to the reign of Aviyam's son Asa. Asa was a much better king than his father and grandfather, and is described as having turned the kingdom around religiously by destroying all vestiges of Avodah Zarah in the land. We're told that he even demoted his own mother from her royal position as the king's mother, which had been an important position in Bnei Yisrael's royal courts since the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when his own mother Bathsheba filled the inaugural position. If we look closely, though, Asa's mother seems to have had the same name as Aviyam's mother. They're both referred to as Ma'acha bat Avishalom. The Radak explains that Ma'acha was in fact Aviyam's mother, and therefore she was really Asa's grandmother. He explains that the Navi refers to her as Asa's mother to show us that her influence on him was as strong as that of a mother. And yet, despite their close relationship, Asa was able to withstand her influence and become a good king who got rid of Avodah Zarah and even demoted his own grandmother because she worshipped Avodah Zarah. We're then told that the only exception to Asa's eradication of Avodah Zarah from his kingdom was that he let the Bamot remain standing. During Asa's reign, there was a war between him and Baasha, Melech Yisrael. Baasha had built up a wall at the border between the two kingdoms, between Malchut Yisrael to the north, which was his kingdom, and Malchut Yehuda to the south, which was Asa's kingdom. And he blocked the road that had connected the two kingdoms. Asa interpreted this as an act of aggression, and he made a pact with Ben-Hadad Melech Aram, the king of Aram, paying Ben-Hadad to attack Baasha from the north, because Aram lay to the north of Malchut Yisrael, and he wanted him to do that so that Baasha would leave Asa alone to the south. And Asa's plan worked. Baasha had to turn his attention to his northern border to fend off Ben-Hadad, so he left his southern border with Malchut Yehuda alone. However, even though his plan was a political and military success, the question remains as to whether Asa had made the correct move. In fact, as we'll see in the coming Prakim in Sefer Malachim, once Asa hired Ben-Hadad to fight against Malchut Yisrael, Aram became a steady thorn in Malchut Yisrael's side for many years to come, even rising to become their primary enemy and causing much affliction and death in the northern kingdom. It seems that once Ben-Hadad saw how easily he could defeat Malchut Yisrael at Asa's instigation, he didn't stop, right? And this was all instigated by Asa with this plan. Interestingly, the story of Asa ends with a strange detail in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. We're told, Rak le'it ziknato chala et raglav. When Asa was old, he had a foot ailment. But why are we told the seemingly extraneous and trivial detail of the end of Asa's life? It doesn't really seem to be so important. Why do we care if he had a foot ailment at the end of his life? The Ralbag explains that this was in fact a Mida Keneged punishment for his hiring of Melech Aram, because he sent Ben-Hadad as if he himself had no legs with which to go to war against Baasha himself. Hashem gave his legs an illness. In Pasuk Chaf Hei, the Perek switches over to its telling of the history of Malchut Yisrael, in stark contrast to Malchut Yehuda, which demonstrated its stability, in that it was still led by the same dynasty of Malchut Beit David and still maintained the same capital city of Yerushalayim, there was much instability in Malchut Yisrael. By the time period of Asa, Malchut Yisrael was already on its second dynasty since it split from Malchut Beit David and in its third capital city. We're told that after Yeravam died, his son Nadav became king, and that he unfortunately followed in his father's evil ways. Merely 2 years after his succession to the throne, Baasha, who was a commoner from Sheva Yisachar, assassinated Nadav ben Yeravam and established his own dynasty. Baasha killed not only Nadav, but also all the other members of Yeravam's household to remove their threat to his new kingdom. In this way, Baasha fulfilled Hashem's promise as delivered by Achiah HaShiloni to Yeravam's wife that Yeravam's dynasty would be destroyed as a punishment for Yeravam's sins. Unfortunately, however, Baasha himself followed in Yeravam's evil ways as well, causing Malchut Yisrael to continue to sin. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.